I want to thank all of you who worked so hard this week to make those calls and encourage folks to be in the Bible study hour during the earlier hour. A lot of work was done, and the increased numbers show that. Let me say to you that the message I bring this morning is not at all the message I anticipated delivering. In fact, you will notice that these are all late Saturday night notes that were written as I left the other sermon in the office, because I want to just share with you. I just want to talk to you about where we are with the Sunday school hour. It burdens me, and that's what I want to share, that burden with you, that the burden might be yours as well. I want to say to you that your presence or absence in Sunday school is not just about you. It is about the church. And when we join the church, we, whether we understand it or not, we take on a corporate responsibility. We make a commitment. We covet together to do something together that really cannot do alone. And all the wonders and wonderful things that come out of our being together for church are involved in what takes place during the Sunday school hour. So what I want to say to you is from the heart. It's with the hope and prayer that my passionate concern will become your passionate concern, that together we might start to see our Sunday school become what it should be and has the possibility of being, the growth instrument for this congregation. Because there's where so many things happen that can't happen. And I can tell you this, that I believe with all my heart that the renewal of the church, this church or any church, is vitally connected with the study of God's Word. You cannot neglect that and expect good things to happen. Now, if you are currently supporting Sunday school, if you're there, then I want to say this to you, that your job isn't over. Because that's the beginning point. If I can get you there, then that's the first thing that has to happen. But beyond that, your task is just beginning, only beginning, because then it becomes your responsibility, appointed of God, to extend that invitation to other people. Until we get a fire going, until we realize that God is doing something through our Sunday school hour, when we come together to study His Word, where we start to contact on a regular basis, not just once and then forget about it, but on a regular basis we start to contact those missing members. And then we find that neighbor who's not in the study of God's Word, and we make that a priority for us, and we go out to see that that person is invited and inviting on a regular basis. I want to say to you that your work isn't over, because you need to be praying for Sunday school. You need to be praying for the leadership in your classes. You need to be praying for the outreach of the Sunday school. You need to be praying for the staff, that we will all together get burdened, that the study of God's Word become a source of great joy for us and not something that we simply treat sort of as a stepsister. So hang on, because I'm going to give you a flash course now, not a sermon, but a flash course on why we need to be in Sunday school. You ought to be in Sunday school week by week, absorbing the biblical understanding that you possibly can, because you are going to be confronted with a spiritual problem. A spiritual question that will leave you dumbfounded if you do not seek every opportunity to become an informed student of the Word. Who will be asking it? Will it be the neighbor that comes over unexpectedly in the time of grief or emptiness? Will it be a grandchild? Will it be a friend at your school? Or will it be a question you are asking yourself? You'll never be able to exert spiritual influence until you have that within yourself that is a knowledge of the Word of God, which stands in a unique category over all other knowledges in this world. Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So don't tell yourself that you are diligently seeking God's approval if you're not in the Sunday school hour, if you're not studying His word. Paul chides us. Shame on us, he's saying. Here God has given you a manual of instruction. What He expects of us comes to us as a love letter, a means of knowing God's will and doing God's will and discerning God's will. And rather than taking that manual seriously, we go right on trying to fly our own spiritual lives by the seat of our pants. We hope that somehow what we will have to say might reflect well upon the gospel, but we can't speak with any great assurance that that will be the case if it simply comes out of our own mind or our own thinking. We leave ourselves on the same playing field, really, of the unbeliever. We share our ignorance about life, and they share their ignorance. We don't have anything that has the authority of the Word of God standing behind it. Number two, if you're a grandparent, raise your hand. A lot of grandparents here. You ought to be in Sunday school because you cannot effectively urge your children to get your grandchildren into Sunday school if you are not out setting the example. Number three, you need to be in Sunday school because God tells you in His Word to be there. Now, you're going to say, well, Sunday school wasn't even invented back then. New Testament times, do you not think they took the Word of God with utmost seriousness in New Testament times? Do you not think Jesus took His disciples aside and did He just talk to them about the birds? Or did He talk to them about the Word of God? Acts 2:42, the church has experienced a spiritual explosion. The power of the Holy Spirit is touching people's lives. And how is that happening? They, that is the people of God, met constantly to hear the apostles teach and to share the common life, to break bread and to pray. A sense of awe was everywhere, and many marvels and signs were brought about through the apostles. And so the apostles realized it wasn't what they had to say, but what God had to say to all of them that brought them together on a constant basis. Number four, you ought to be in Sunday school because worship is not and never has been an adequate substitute for that which is offered to you in the Bible study hour. In worship, the pastor doesn't go into great biblical background on selected passages. His focus is usually on applying the Word to our daily lives. He's seeking to challenge us to live the life of faith, take up the gauntlet cast before us. So where are you going to get that intensive study? Where are you going to be able to ask those questions and dig into a particular part? The 2 hours that we ask of people in their commitment to the faith have 2 different purposes. And Sunday school allows dialogue and questions to be asked and questions to be answered. Number five, you ought to be in Sunday school because Sunday school offers a prime opportunity for you to lift your spiritual readiness. Scripture is a tool, people. God has given us this tool to survive and conquer every assault of Satan. So Ephesians 6:10, finally then find your strength in the Lord, in His mighty power, put on all the armor which God provides you so that you will be able to stand firm against the devices of the devil. Therefore, take up God's armor, that which you will be able to stand your ground when things are at their worst, to complete every task and still to stand. Take the sword, for it is the word of the Spirit which will give you words that come from God. Number six, this I can promise you as a direct benefit of your commitment to Sunday school. Studying God's Word will give you an appetite for God Himself. You are made for our relationships. We seek out others. The spirit within us is seeking out God and cannot be satisfied until God comes regularly into one's heart. The Bible is a proven means of getting into relationship with God. Why do the Gideons that others spend untold hours in commitment with their funds to make sure this word of God gets in as many places as possible? Because they have experience. They know that the word brings one in relationship to God. This is not a book to be worshipped. This is a book that points us toward the experience itself. And that's why we have to bring ourselves to that word and bring it there ourselves on a regular kind of basis. Far beyond ideas about God, we need to confront God. Number 7, you need Sunday school because Sunday school encourages spiritual growth. Without spiritual growth, what happens? We stagnate. We become complacent. You may not even realize how much you slack off in terms of the pursuit of your faith, but it will happen when you do not have the Word in your life. The Spirit, when you are there, will challenge you to be open in your heart, and you will not grow stagnant. Number 8, you need to support Sunday school so that your pastor will be a happier person. I figured it was time for a little levity. Put a smile on his face. He might even laugh out loud if we would get to 200 in Sunday school in this location on Sunday morning, which has been my single idea. That's the minimum that ought to be happening as a starting point for the First Baptist Church of Cornelia, 200 people in worship and in the Sunday school hour Sunday morning. You can count on this. As long as I'm here in this pulpit in this position, I'm going to badger you, I'm going to nag you, I'm going to plead with you, I'm going to do everything I can. I am going to be the persistent widow in the Bible, saying to you, reconsider if you aren't there. If you are there, push it forward. Push it to become the agenda of this church. Number 9, let me forewarn you, when you aren't in Sunday school, the church will decline in its vitality. Now, some churches have never really emphasized graded Sunday school classes. They offer some classes for children. Adults are left on their own. But I cannot tell you how many newcomers to the Baptist church have said they wish they had had the benefit of being in an adult Sunday school class all the years of their life. They benefit that much. Number 10, you need to be in Sunday school because you're missing out on an awful lot of fun. People who love one another and enjoy one another, things that are sources of joy unfold in those Sunday school classes, and you'll meet some of the finest people in the world when you make Sunday school a priority. Number 11, you need to be in Sunday school because the very thing people seek in terms of connecting with other people, that desire to get over being alone in this world, can be overcome. You make Sunday school a priority, and I promise you that the Sunday school class will make you a priority. You'll get a telephone call when you miss. You'll get a telephone call when there is grief in your family. You will get somebody who will come and share with you and be a part of your life. When you have good news, they'll have some place that will be rejoicing with you in that good news. If you have a birthday or an anniversary, even if it's a bad anniversary or a bad birthday, you will find somebody who will share it with you. A little tender loving care will come your way. Number 12. Feeding our spiritual selves takes very little coaching. Did you notice that? We are largely self-motivated to get to the feeding place on a regular basis. In fact, a little healthy appetite is a sign of good health, isn't it? We all agree with that. Should, however, you start to neglect that food, you know what happens. The body grows weak, The body grows anemic. You simply cannot function at your highest level. Your productivity at work, at home, and everywhere, it starts to tail off. Why is it we don't understand that that's the exact parallel with our spiritual lives? Our spiritual lives function in the same kind of way. Spiritually starved fathers, for example, they don't assert themselves as spiritual leaders in the family. They don't have the aptitude to do so. They don't have the desire to do so. And so I'm saying to you that we have got to realize that our spiritual being, when we are more spirit than we are anything else, is thirsting, is hungry to be before the Word of God. Number 13, you can forget about being an effective servant of others if you have neglected to allow God to serve you. To be strong spiritually, to have a driving passion for the things of God, you need to be vitally connected with the Word of God. Number 14, mark this down. People who take the study of God's Word seriously in their lives, who are daily studying God's Word and praying, these are people who are our most faithful Sunday school members. They do not take that private time as a reason not to be in corporate expression of studying together. They do not want to miss the opportunity to share that which is their driving passion with other people. Sunday school is their friend, their companion. They look kindly on the value of what Sunday school offers them, not simply for their sake. And I remind you again, it's not simply about you. It's about your commitment to the body of Christ. Number 15. Anyone who looks upon their spiritual life as a journey, as a means of growing, expanding. If you're a goal-oriented person, you know that Sunday school can be an important ingredient in attaining your personal goals. Spiritual maturity is not easily defined. None of us would be completely comfortable calling ourselves spiritually mature, but there are tons of people who will say, well, I just don't have spiritual maturity. Something's lacking in my life, and I wonder what it is. Is it the study of God's Word? Number 16, the Bible is your best defense. Listen to me. Your Bible is your best defense against temptation. Even Jesus was tempted. Every person in this room is tempted. I do not know your temptations. But I do know that Satan will come to you, and in ways that are totally disguised, you will become more vulnerable than you ever imagined. And that's why you need the Word of God, because it's your best defense. It brings to mind the promises of God. It brings to mind the knowledge of God to keep you away from that temptation. And Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." He lives on every word that God utters. Number 17. If you attend Sunday school, you will find yourselves having the same interest in serving God that others have. Your lifelong friendships are often developed in Sunday school. What I've noticed through the years that people who attend Sunday school are often socialize together, they go out together and eat meals together, they go to ball games together. And why? Because they have the same values. I've also observed that, especially among young couples who start to go with unchurched couples, couples who have no interest in the faith, those values often that they held as Christians often get sucked away. And they themselves get pulled down. Now, this has been proven by studies that where there is a divorce in a neighborhood or within a circle of friends, if there isn't strength within that, you'll often find other divorces taking place. By the same token, it has been shown that divorce is far, far less prominent among people who are committed Sunday school and to worship than would be out in the outside world. Number 18, if you're a book lover, if you tend to read, then I can promise you that you will find stories of wonderful interest in your knowledge of God's Word. Across the years, I've heard hundreds of people say, well, I don't know where that is. Is that Job in the Old Testament or is that in the New Testament? What did Jesus have to say? People have questions and the answers are there. And then even in our colleges, they want students to know the Bible simply because it is great literature. Quotes come out of the Bible that teach us, and we ought to know those. Number 19, Sunday school attendance will come closest to keeping you informed about the life of this church family. You will know who's going to have a baby. You'll know who's in the hospital. You'll know who has died. The program emphasis of the congregation will be discussed. You'll be a lot more intelligent as a member of the church than you could ever be by not being in Sunday school. You'll know what the issues are and the implication of those issues are. You'll know how when the time comes for you to cast your vote, you will have an intelligent vote to cast. And Sunday school can give you that opportunity. Number 20, if you're concerned about locating a Bible that is contemporary in its wording, what better way than people who are using different translations in their Sunday school class? Well, this is what I found about this. This is look at this over, and you'll get support there. Number 21, the study of the Bible is the key to discerning the will of God. Prayer is important. But prayer itself can become very subjective. You may simply be telling yourself what you want to hear from God. But the Word of God stands outside the individual's personal theology. So all of our ideas must be measured against the infutable strength of God's revealed truth. And we need to know that truth. And you're only going to know it if you study God's Word. God does not instruct a person to follow a spiritual leader who has perverted ideas and ways. When someone listens to a neighbor spew forward some crazy ideas about God, then someone who has knowledge of the Word can refute that. And someone without that is left completely baffled. You feel like you have no grounds to stand on. Grounded in the Word, you know what heresy is. And there is a lot of it out there in our world. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, just in case you think I'm going to finish all these pages, I could not stop writing. But the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. I want my burden for Sunday school and the study of God's Word to be your burden. We have languished along here. Nothing much happened. A little bit of growth, but not the growth that could happen if this congregation would say, I have an obligation that I haven't fulfilled. It's a corporate obligation that none of us can complete alone. But all of us have something to contribute to make it happen. When it happens, we shall rejoice together. Pray with me. Now, Father, we want to thank you this morning for the gift of your word. Where would we be without it? Left to our own bland ideas and foolishness. By the strength of your word, as the minister of the gospel, I can stand before this congregation week in and week out and say, thus saith the Lord. I can declare the promises you have for those who are hurting. I can declare to this congregation how a lost person can come into the faith. I can say to them that every problem that we face in life has a word from you. And I'm thankful for that. So Lord, help us all to come together now with a new discovery, with a new pledge, a new promise, to take up your word in our hearts, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.